The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
A new survey shows almost one third of adult Australians say they are unlikely to roll up their sleeve and be vaccinated against COVID-19 anytime soon. 50% of respondents said they were worried about side effects. No matter how you slice it, the nation's vaccine rollout is at a crossroads. So who better to unpack all of this than our favourite infectious diseases physician and microbiologist, Professor Paul Griffin. Welcome back to the show, Professor.
Thanks very much for having me.
So, were you disappointed to see in this new poll that a third of respondents are so hesitant about getting the jab?
Look, I think it shows we've got our work cut out for us, and it's great to see a survey that, I guess, unpicks that to a degree. And, you know, I think a lot of us are aware that there's, concern and a bit of confusion out there, and that people are perhaps a little overwhelmed with the amount of information that's circulating about these vaccines. And, you know, I think we should take this survey as, good information as to what we need to do from here to fix that up. We need to get the messaging right to make sure people understand the vaccines are safe and effective, but also make sure people understand, you know, what having the vaccine can mean in terms of, you know, enjoying some of the freedoms that people earn by being protected from this virus.
Well, half the people surveyed were worried about side effects. We know about the rare blood clotting syndrome we've seen with AstraZeneca. What do people need to know about these vaccines when it comes to the reality of potential side effects?
I think the message should be that they are safe and effective. And although we've changed how we're using the AstraZeneca vaccine, that's just to, I guess, increase the difference between the risks and benefits. And so, we know that there's that significant adverse event potentially associated with AstraZeneca, but it remains extremely rare, 1 in 100,000 or less. And the vast majority of people that are unlucky enough to get that very rare side effect will actually recover. One of the challenges, I guess, we face is that everyone that has a problem after being vaccinated gets reported, and we want that information to be shared. But I think there's a lot of very preliminary reporting of those issues and people assuming that these things are related well before we prove they are. And, you know, the simple fact is there's no vaccine or medication that's free of side effects. And these vaccines are included in that, but they've been very carefully assessed such that we know that the benefits far outweigh the risks, or we simply wouldn't be using them. And as I say, we just need people to understand that and to know that, you know, if we don't get people vaccinated, then things like opening the borders, travelling, whether it be domestically or, you know, even more so internationally, just won't be able to be something we can consider doing.
Well, here in WA, they've just published some stats which found only 0.42% of the 300,000-odd West Aussies who've got the jab have experienced any adverse reactions. Is that pretty much what you'd expect?
Oh, that's right. The vast majority of people will get these vaccines and have no side effects. Some will obviously have some very mild side effects, like a sore arm or feeling tired or a little bit achy for 24 hours or so after. And, you know, that's what the majority of people can expect. We hear a lot about very significant side effects, but in fact, that's really unusual and certainly not what people should expect when they get vaccinated.
Yeah, there must be some sort of disconnect here. I can't help but think that, because in this poll, it found that 40% of respondents felt that they didn't know enough about the COVID vaccines. What's gone wrong here with the messaging?
I think there's just been so much different information discussed publicly and via social media that I think it's really hard for people to unpick what the real information is, to know what's misinformation and what's genuine. And as I say, anyone who has any problems after a vaccine tends to be very widely reported, you know, makes front page headlines well before we even know if that whatever that event is in any way related. So, you know, I think we really need to work on that messaging to get that message out there that, you know, as I say, these vaccines are safe and effective. And, you know, in itself, not a silver bullet, but it's certainly the main thing we need to get done to take a step back towards normality.
A survey in the US found that vaccine hesitancy was hovering around 30%, but it's only 6 or 7% in the UK. Why do you think it's an issue here and in the States, but not in Britain?
We know there are so many factors that have to be weighed up in terms of these vaccines. And, you know, the perception of risk from the virus is also such a big factor. You know, we know in this country a lot of people have a very low perceived risk because of how exceptional our control has been. But I guess the thing there is that we are very unlikely to be able to control it as well as this forever. And if we try to do that without high rates of vaccination, what that looks like is ongoing restrictions and lockdowns and things like that. So, you know, I guess we just need to make sure people are aware that, you know, this virus isn't going away by itself anytime soon. And if we want to be able to enjoy some freedoms, that the vaccine is the way to do that.
And so how do we fix this vaccine hesitancy? We've seen companies in the US are incentivizing people. So whether it's Krispy Kreme giving away donuts, Shake Shack are giving away burgers, other companies are doing little giveaways when you hand in your sort of proof of vaccination card. Do we need to look at something like that here in Australia? Are there other ways we can incentivize people?
Look, it's a delicate balance. I really think we need to demonstrate to people the confidence we have in these vaccines in terms of reducing the chance of getting infected, at least by a significant proportion, but most importantly, very significantly reducing the chance of people getting really sick by linking people being vaccinated to certain freedoms. And whether we call that a passport or what have you, that if people are vaccinated, they can travel a little more freely domestically, potentially have options of travelling internationally when that becomes a thing, and know that people that are vaccinated perhaps can have things like shorter quarantine periods or quarantine at home, because we do know they are protected. So I think linking being vaccinated to some of those things would be a good way of not only incentivising people, but demonstrating the fact that we actually do have genuine confidence in how effective these vaccines are.
Well, there has been a lot of talk about when the country reopens to international travel. The Prime Minister doesn't really want to do it before the middle of next year. Some business leaders have called for it to happen sooner than that. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian says that we need about 75 to 80% of the population vaccinated before borders reopen. What do you think is a safe percentage of vaccination to enable international travel to restart?
Look, it's tricky because there's no simple number. And, you know, we know the concept of herd immunity is actually dependent on many, many variables, including, for example, whether there are, you know, other mitigation strategies employed, like high rates of testing or social distancing or hand hygiene. So, you know, I think 80 may even be a little high given how effective these vaccines are. And we're getting more and more real world evidence that they are really effective, including at things like preventing transmission. So, you know, I think even a bit less than that. But in terms of the international borders, I think that really depends on people's perspective. If people have enjoyed feeling safe and don't need to travel, then I think there's a strong push not to change things because they think things are working well. But if you're involved in the travel industry or perhaps have family or friends overseas you're desperate to visit, every day the borders stay closed is, you know, really significant. And I think we need to look at both sides of that and look to getting those borders open. But in doing so, we do need enough people vaccinated to make that safe.
And is part of it perhaps being more targeted? So it might be take quite some time to vaccinate 80% of the population. But if we had, you know, sort of 95% of the most vulnerable people vaccinated, could that be a pathway to reopening sooner?
Oh, absolutely. If we have the majority of those who are most vulnerable vaccinated, then again, we're doing what we need to do by the vaccine in terms of protecting those that are most vulnerable in the community. So most definitely, if the majority of people perhaps who are elderly or have comorbidities are vaccinated, that'll go a long way to reducing the impact of the virus. But I guess the flip side of that is we know the majority of transmission events actually do occur in that younger group who may not themselves be at high risk of complications, but responsible for most of the transmission. So, you know, I think there's lots of ways of looking at it, but the simple fact is the more people vaccinated, the more protected we are and the more likely we are to be able to open back up.
Sounds good to me. Infectious diseases physician and microbiologist Professor Paul Griffin, thanks for your time once again on the West Live.
Thank you.